I have to tell you that my mind's going several different directions today. I'm thinking a lot about Bible school, of course, and stories from Bible school, and some of them how precious they are, and thinking about kids in Bible school, thinking about two of my grandkids that are going to be with us this week, and how I'm just grateful that they're here. And here's one of them right now. Hey, buddy. Thank you. Thank you, Andy. But I'm also thinking about the church today, thinking about how important and precious the church is to Jesus, how the scriptures we read about the church and its unity, and how we're to be connected, really connected, connected spiritually, connected in our purposes, and connected in how we relate to each other and how we relate to those that are not believers. I'm not talking this morning about a denomination, the Church of the Nazarene, although that's a part of what I am and this church is, but I'm talking about something far deeper. I'm talking about how we see the connection that Jesus wants us to have to each other as the body of Christ, how important that body of Christ is. Today I wanted to talk about the sacraments of the Christian church, baptism and the Lord's Supper, and talk about how important they are. But as I've been thinking about that, my mind's also gone to a lot of things about the importance of the church and how what we believe about the church, the body of Christ, and how we live that out is so important to what gets accomplished and what doesn't, and what is fulfilling and what is not, and what is encouraging to the people around us and what is not. The church is so important. So this morning I want to focus on two sacraments, the baptism and the Lord's Supper, both of which are an outward sign of an inward grace. Baptism and communion are something outward that we can see and touch and feel and hear and experience with our senses, but they are signs of something inside of what we believe and who we are. What we believe about God and what we believe God has said to us. So when I think about the sacraments, they're important. It's something on the outside, but they represent something much deeper on the inside. And so today I want to especially talk about the importance and the meaning of Christian baptism, and then also of Holy Communion. We're going to watch a short video and then we'll come back to the baptism.
Today,
I tell my friends,
my family,
the world,
that the old Adam,
the old Jimmy,
the old Crystal, is dead. I have been buried with Christ.
My sin is gone. Nailed to the cross.
And paid for.
By the blood of
my Savior.
Of my Jesus. Today, I declare
that by God's relentless,
unfailing grace,
I am forgiven.
I am free.
I am new.
Praise God. Baptism symbolizes something important in who we are and what we believe, that we're connected to the God who loved us so much, that He created us, He made us, He sent Jesus to die for us, to communicate with us, to help us, to give us the Holy Spirit. And baptism is such an important part of the faith. I realize that this morning there's a lot of different people here from different backgrounds. Some of you have been part of a church. Some of you are part of this church for 60, 70, 80, 90 years. Some of you have come to church a few times, and everybody in between. Some of you are visitors today. Some of you came to faith a while back, and maybe you've never been baptized, and others of you have baptized maybe in a way or at a time where really you don't remember much about it or it didn't mean a lot to you, maybe even theologically, but it was just something you did. Well, today I want you to consider how important and special your baptism is. If you've already been baptized, I'd like you to go back to that place and think about when you were baptized and what it meant to you and what you were saying when you said, yes, I want to be baptized. If you were baptized because of your personal choice and your personal faith, I want to challenge you every day is a day to go back to that baptism and remember that. Remember that commitment that you made to Jesus in baptism, that commitment that you made before you were baptized that said, yes, I want to be a Christian. I want to live for Jesus. Baptism is important to the community. It's important for the people that are being baptized at the moment and their choice and their expression of faith, but it's also important to every baptized person that is there because it's a reminder of who they are and who they belong to and what God cares about. Baptism has been such an important sign for the Christian church all through the period of the church, beginning with the words of Jesus and the baptism of Jesus himself, and then in the early church and how baptism was woven into almost every book of the New Testament and the blossoming of the Christian church and how faith and baptism always went together, and so much so that in the early church somebody wrote, there was no such thing as an unbaptized Christian. If you were a Christian, a believer, a follower of Jesus, you knew that baptism was a part of what you did and who you are and how you expressed the faith that you felt in every language of every century, in every culture and nation. Baptism is regarded as an important step of relationship with God. We are on a journey spiritually, and if you're on a journey with Jesus, a journey with God, baptism is a part of that journey. It's a step of your faith. It's an expression of what you believe. In the Church of the Nazarene, we practice baptism most of the time by immersion. We think that symbol of going into the water completely and coming out, it symbolizes the washing away of something and the raising to new life. We also baptize sometimes by sprinkling and pouring, but the important thing is to know that baptism does something to us spiritually and in our connection with God and in the community. Most of you who are professing Christians probably have been baptized, and some of you have not come to that place yet where you've chosen to take that step. I want to encourage you and call you to the meaning and the importance of baptism. If you've asked Jesus to come into your heart, if you said, I want to live the Christian life, then baptism is that important step of faith that you take toward God. I'd like to invite you to consider baptism. In Acts chapter 8 is a story of a man who became a Christian along a road. He was an Ethiopian, and he was in a chariot. And the Bible says that he was stopped along the road, and he was reading scriptures, Old Testament, Isaiah. And he didn't really know what they meant. And a man named Philip came by and found him and stopped and talked to him and started to ask him, what are you doing? And the Ethiopian said, well, I'm trying to find the truth. And he was reading from Isaiah, and then Philip read it, and then he explained it, and he told him the story of Jesus, and right away Philip wanted to believe in Jesus. It's an amazing story, and so he became a believer, and then they got on the chariot, and they went down the road, and they found some water, probably a lake or a river, I don't know what, but the Ethiopian said, I should be baptized right now. And the story says to me how urgent it was for this man to be connected to the meaning in the early church of what baptism was. It's an amazing story. And so I ask you, if you are a believer today, to understand the urgency of the importance of that commitment of baptism. I think we have a picture here of two summers ago baptism. I was looking around today, and some of the people are here this morning, and I've kind of made eye contact with a couple of you. There's four or five of you sitting in the first three rows there. So I don't have a picture from last year. It's somewhere buried in my computer, but I try to keep those, and somehow I've jungled my computer, I'm afraid. But I was able to find this one, and it just reminded me how special that day was to me. The evening, we usually do baptism at Mifflinburg Park. They allow us to come in when the pool closes, and we have a little service right there. And it's a special time. It's an important day as people make that commitment to walk with Jesus. Well, I want to read from Acts chapter 2 this morning, some words of Peter. Peter was, of course, an apostle of Jesus, and he made a lot of mistakes and kind of messed things up. But after the day of Pentecost, God really got him on the right track. And he preached the first sermon in the church in Acts chapter 2. I want to read a few verses. It says, starting in verse 36, "Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this, God has made Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." This is the first sermon in the church. It's the first time after Jesus went to heaven and the Holy Spirit came down, this was the first time that anybody preached or told the story of Jesus. And right here is the key and the core of the gospel and what it means to be a Christian. Repent and be baptized. There's quite a few words in this text that I think are important to look at. One of them is this. When I read this, in the middle, every one of you. When I read that, I think, who's God speaking to there? He's speaking to every single person who will come along after Peter and after the day of Pentecost and hear the gospel. Every one of you. Not just you, as Peter says later, but for the promises for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. The truth is, the call to believe, the call to accept Jesus, the call to baptism is for you and for me. And so I take this verse very important and very serious. God calls me and God calls you to understand the meaning and the importance of the words in this verse. Go on to that next slide. There's some other words that I wanted to think about and to look at today. The first one is the word repent. What does it mean to repent? Why does God want us to repent? Why is repentance such an important part of the Christian faith? It's kind of a word that I know we've heard. Maybe we've thought about a lot, or maybe we've heard that word and we're really not sure exactly what it means to us and our relationship with God. Repent, baptized, and then forgiveness. To know how important God's forgiveness is. A holy, just God. And He wants to forgive us for our sins and take them away. And baptism is a symbol, a sign of that process, of how God takes our sins and washes them away. And we go under the water and we're buried, our sins are buried with Christ. And then we come out of the water, there's a newness. And when we do that, Peter says here that we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Then it's a part of the journey to live and follow and watch God. And so we start this morning with the word repentance. Why is repentance so important to our lives as a Christian and until we come to the place of Christian? Repentance means to turn toward God. It means to orient your life to what God has revealed. Sometimes repentance is real quiet, and sometimes it might be very loud. Repentance is of the heart. And we are to be people who turn toward God. And so when we're called to repent, it means that we are all called to turn toward God and say, God, I want to hear you. I want to know you. I want to know what you want. Repent means to change the direction of where you're heading and orient it toward God and God's light and God's truth, and be listening to Him and responding to Him when He speaks to your heart. To repent means that you change the goal of your journey. You change the orientation of your life, your North Star, and where you're heading. Repentance means to change your attitude toward God and say, God, I want to follow you. I want to listen to you. I want to hear you. I want to be sensitive to your spirit. So all of us are called to repent. And it's not a one-time thing. We think, okay, well, repent one time. That means everything in your life is changed. And that can happen. But all of life is adjusting and listening to God. when we go through difficult times, when we go through challenges, sometimes we had to come back to that repentance and say, God, help my attitude to be right. Help my life to be right. Help me to be honest with you, God. Help me not to hold back and say, well, I really can't give to you, God, this in my life. To repent says, God, I give it to you. It's a change of attitude. It's making God the boss of your life. Another way to think about it is it's tuning yourself to God. You know, when you turn on the radio, at least the old radios, you know, you got to turn the dial until you finally get it tuned into the voice that you want to listen to. And repentance is like that with God. It's also turning away from sin and turning away from anything that displeases God and focusing on God. And so Peter, really, it's like the first thing Peter says in this first sermon on Pentecost is the importance of repent. Turn toward God. One person said repentance is a posture toward God. It's how you orient your life toward God. Is he in control or not? Is he the one that is going to call the shots or not? I call you today to be a person of repentance. Whether you've been in the church for a long time or you're visiting today or you're in the process of what you want to believe and choosing what you believe, I call you to be a person of repentance and say, God, I want to turn my life to you and I want to hear you. I want to listen to you. That intentional part. Well, baptism is to follow that decision. Baptism is to come after you've turned to God and you've heard his story. You've heard him call you to him. You've heard who Jesus is, that Jesus died for our sins and he lived a sinless life. And so when he went on the cross, Isaiah says that God has laid on him the iniquity of us all. And so repentance is saying, God, I'm turning to you. I believe you. I trust you. And become a follower of you. And then baptism, Peter says, here comes next, repent and be baptized. It's to follow that decision. Again, repent and believe, every one of you. Baptism, what is it? It is salvation. It is accepting that Jesus died for your sins. It's simple. We sometimes can make it very complicated, but when we're baptized, we're affirming that we have asked Jesus to forgive us and we're giving our hearts and our lives to him. It's accepting the truth of God. Baptism represents God's forgiveness. God says that he removes our sins as far as the east is from the west. And whatever sins we've committed, when we ask Jesus to forgive us, we ask God to forgive us through Jesus, God says he takes them away. They're cast into the depths of the sea. Think of the symbolism of that. How God looks at our sin when we ask Jesus to forgive us and we accept his forgiveness. He puts them into the depths of the sea. And he says, never to be remembered against us again. I don't know that God can forget them. You know, how does an infinite God forget? I don't know. But it says that he will not remember them against us. Maybe he remembers them, but he doesn't remember them against us. That's what his grace and mercy is. That's what forgiveness is. And when we're baptized, we're saying, God, I'm putting my trust and my faith in your forgiveness. I'm not going to earn my salvation. I'm not going to say, oh, I have to be a certain thing or be good enough. But I'm allowing you, God, to save me and forgive me and cleanse me. And baptism is saying, yes, that's what I want for my heart and my life. Baptism is also following Jesus, going on a journey saying, I want to be like him. I want to watch him. I want to follow him. I want to learn from him. I want to be on this lifelong orientation of hearing what Jesus says to me. And when we do that and we're baptized and we live that life, then we're in this relationship with God. It is a relationship. Baptism is a relationship. It's saying I'm starting this journey with God, and I join him. In some ways, we're with Jesus in baptism and the symbolism of dying to our sins and then being raised in a new life and everything's new. It's about relationship going forward. It's not just about forgiveness of our past. Baptism is about who you are and what you want to be the rest of your life, what you choose in your faith. All of us got to make that choice. Our parents cannot do it for us. I can't do it for you. You know that. You've got to choose. Is Jesus the one that you're going to give your life to? Baptism is a special point in time in your life when you make that decision. I'm thinking of Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, that says, I am crucified with Christ, and talks about how we're dead in our sins, and it's not us that lives. There's something dies inside of us, and it's Christ that lives in me, giving me life, giving me hope, giving me future, calling me, showing me. Baptism is walking with Jesus. It is a time of taking life and going where he goes and following where he leads and walking along the path with Jesus. I want to encourage you today, if you're already baptized, go back to that time and make that commitment again. Yes, I'm walking with Jesus. I want to do what he calls me to do. I know that he loves me. I know that he wants me. Baptism is also a time, Paul says here, you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Baptism opens the door for God's Holy Spirit to come in your life and work on you and in you and through you and help you. God gives us something very special when we make that commitment to follow him. It's pretty simple. It's not that complicated. God gives his presence through the Holy Spirit. That voice on the inside is magnified. It's turned on. It's turned up. And we hear God speaking to us. And we hear the conscience more. We hear God speaking to us about what's right and wrong. And before, we might not have heard it or we might have ignored it. But when you become a Christian and you are baptized and the Holy Spirit comes in you, there's something inside of you that's more in tune with the voice of God. It's a journey. It's exciting. Baptism does so much to draw us to the love of God and the heart of God. The Holy Spirit becomes real and alive. And today we have the precious privilege of the Holy Spirit in the church. I said earlier that my thoughts have been about the church. Where would the church be without the Holy Spirit? We'd be in big trouble, because we need that ongoing Spirit of God to help us, to guide us, to correct us, to motivate us, to draw us, to help us to be the people that God calls us to. Baptism is so important and so precious. And then this morning we have the sacrament of Holy Communion, another outward sign of what you believe on the inside and what you choose to hold on the inside. Today I want to say how important communion is, and special communion is. Baptism is the sacrament of beginning. It's initiation into that journey. And communion is that ongoing practice or habit or thing the church does every month or every 2 weeks or whenever we have communion in this church, which is about once a month, what we usually do. Communion is the ongoing reminder of everything that I've talked about in baptism. It's coming back to something and saying, you know what, that's important enough to me that I'm going to think about it, I'm going to focus on it, I'm going to give myself to it and quiet myself to it. Communion is a special time of connecting with God about what he's done in your heart and your life, and it's important. I never want communion to be something we just do because we do it once a month. I want it to mean something deeply and quietly in every heart and every person. I don't mean it needs to be something emotional, big and emotional, but I mean that communion, every time we take communion, whether we do it in a group of two or three or in a large, whether you come to the front or we pass the trays or we break the bread or we use the little pieces, all those things don't matter at all compared to this, your heart and God. Hearing the heart of God. Communion is a special sacrament. It's a sign of what God has done for us and in us and our response. Communion is a response to God. Yes, once again, I want to take that bread and take that juice and I want to express my faith. Whenever you receive communion, you're expressing faith in God. So that's important why when we have communion, if you're not a believer yet or you're not connected yet to what it means, it doesn't hurt you to take communion, but it's better that you stop and listen and think about it and ask God to show you what it means, and then receive communion when you're at that place of faith and you say, yes, I believe. It's not saying you're perfect. It's not saying that everything in your life is together, you know. Not saying you haven't messed up or you won't mess up. Communion is saying today, right now, at this moment, God, I'm saying to you, I want to be connected to you. I want you to know that I have faith that Jesus died for me. It's not to be done because the people beside you do it. It's to say to God, God, today, right now, at this point, you are important in my life. I ask you, speak to me today. Speak to my heart. Speak to my life. We begin with the bread. Jesus talked about the bread many times in his ministry. He said, I am the bread of life. John chapter 6 talks about being the bread, how precious that passage is. It was a symbol, and they wouldn't come to understand it till later, much, much later. But you look back and you read John 6 in light of what happened when Jesus took the bread on the night he died and broke it, and you realize what he was saying there. I'm life. He is life. His body was broken. And we need him. We need him every day. And then we have the fruit of the vine symbolizing the blood and the death of Jesus. God, there is a requirement for the forgiveness of sins. And it was that there would be a blood offering, and Jesus paid the price, the lamb that was slain. And so we come to communion today. I want us to come thoughtfully. Not that we have to overthink everything, but come to it thoughtfully and say, this is why I do this. This is what it means. Come to communion joyfully. Sometimes we're more solemn and sometimes we laugh, and either of them are okay. But we come to communion thankfully and say, God, this means something very special, very important. And so when we come to Holy Communion today, I want you to remember something. I want you to remember that Jesus died for our sins. Go back to maybe that place where you first believed and say, Jesus, I want to remember that. I want to remember that time when faith connected. And today say, yes, that faith is a part of me. The Apostle Paul also talks about in communion, use another word, and that's examination. He says that when we have communion, we should examine ourselves. And I don't know what all Paul was thinking about there, but I know what it means for me today, and that is, you know, life is messy. It's difficult. Sometimes we face things that are hard. We don't always make the right choices. We don't always use the right words. Maybe we don't get it right sometimes. Communion is a time to say, God, you're in charge of me. If anything in my life is unpleasing, would you today clear it up so that my heart can be full of love? I don't have to feel ashamed about anything. Examination is important. Lord God, examine me. Communion should be unifying to the body of Christ. We do it together. There's a reason for that. The brokenness of Jesus. It was broken and given out. We're all dependent on that broken body of Jesus. Communion is a proclamation of Christ's death and resurrection and his return. Today we celebrate the core beliefs of the church. Why am I a Christian? And Jesus died for me. He rose from the dead, and he's coming again. And I celebrate who he is. I'm thankful for an amazing God. We celebrate in communion. Sometimes we celebrate loudly and sometimes quietly, but I want communion to be for you, if you're a believer, a time of celebration. Maybe deep on your soul, maybe in a song you sing, or maybe something else, but celebrating Holy Communion. It really is a great privilege to receive Holy Communion. Let's not take it for granted in this church.